from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Rachel Miro, I'm Penny Nelson. Today, San Diego's huge tourist attraction SeaWorld is expected to announce plans to improve the facilities for its famous killer whales. The theme park has experienced negative publicity and falling attendance of late. Some are citing animal rights activists who have long been critical of the theme park and its use of orcas as performers. The documentary Blackfish brought these criticisms to a much wider audience, including state lawmakers. A bill was introduced to the state assembly putting limits on how SeaWorld can use animals in their shows. That bill was shelved last April for further review. And yesterday in Sacramento, state lawmakers shelved other bills citing their costs to the state, including one that requires medical marijuana shops and growers to get state licenses and follow new rules. Another vote that was put off yesterday would provide resources for local law enforcement to confiscate guns from people who are not qualified to own them. California is under a federal court order to change what one judge called horrific practices for handling mentally ill inmates. A new reform plan by the Department of Corrections establishes limits on when and how correctional officers can physically force uncooperative inmates to leave their cells or comply with orders. Julie Small has more in the first of two stories on prison mental health.
The number of inmates with mild to severe mental illness has grown to 37,000 in California, just over a quarter of the prison population. And a series of lawsuits brought by inmates against the state over the last two decades has exposed a correctional system poorly equipped to handle their extraordinary needs.
Help! Help!
Come here, Kappa. Kappa,
turn around. Open the door! Kappa!
Graphic videos shown last year in court as part of one case showed guards at Corcoran State Prison struggling to remove an inmate who was hallucinating and refusing to leave his cell in order to receive medication. The prison recorded the whole interaction according to department policy. The inmate had taken off his clothes and smeared feces on himself, and when he refused to submit to handcuffs, guards in gas masks sprayed a potent pepper spray into the cell, causing the inmate to gasp for air. When the inmate still wouldn't cuff up, the officer sprayed him again and again, and again.
Oh, no!
Later, the video shows guards rushing in and wrestling the inmate to the floor and into restraints.
He has described this as making him feel like less than an animal.
Attorney Lori Rifkin represented the inmate, Jermaine Padilla, in his suit against the Department of Corrections. Rifkin says 2 years on, her client still has flashbacks and nightmares from the process prison officials refer to as a cell extraction. He believes the experience at Corcoran worsened his schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and left him permanently damaged.
And that's what Mr. Padilla has really clearly described to me, is it changed something in him. He'd never been treated that badly, and it broke something in him.
The Padilla video and five others shown last fall were the latest revelation in a long history of problems with mental health care in California prisons that have prompted the federal court's intervention. U.S. District Judge Lawrence Carlton called the video evidence horrific. In April, he ordered new restrictions on the use of force. He banned the use of pepper spray on mentally ill inmates in cells and psychiatric holding facilities with few exceptions. He instructed prison officials, whenever possible, to defer to clinicians about whether to use force. This week, the judge signed off on the Department of Corrections reform plan. Among the changes, prison staff will be trained to collaborate and to exhaust every reasonable alternative to force.
The critical element is to properly train our members to recognize what they're dealing with.
Craig Brown is a lobbyist for the California Correctional Peace Officers Association. He says the union's been pushing for better training for years.
They'll recognize what's going on. They'll know when they need to talk to a mental health professional. They know when they don't.
The State Department of Corrections declined to be interviewed for this story. They referred us to their plan filed with the court. Under that plan, a mental health clinician must be called in to evaluate an inmate's mental state. For example, are they able to understand directions? That has to happen before officers can proceed with any kind of force. If a clinician decides force shouldn't be used, correctional officers can't override that decision. The conflict gets kicked up to senior management to resolve. Dr. Alan Abrams says the state's plan reinforces the values and strategies he used when he was the chief psychiatrist at the California Medical Facility in Vacaville. Abrams left the post a couple years ago. He says staff at most of the prisons already collaborate well, But there are only so many ways to handle violent inmates.
One cellie is brutalizing another. Yes, they're labeled mentally ill, but you need to stop the violence very quickly. It's not a discussion.
In his 12 years working in prisons, he ordered force numerous times to keep inmates from killing each other or themselves.
What do you do about the inmate who's in their cell with their T-shirt in a noose saying they're going to kill themselves unless you release them from prison? You're not going to watch them hang themselves. You're not going to release them from prison. So you say to your custody co-workers, you better get them down.
Still, Terry Coopers, a national expert on correctional mental health, says it's imperative that prison staff do as much as they can to mitigate conditions that exacerbate mental illness.
The pepper spray, the cell extractions, the beatings, the violence among prisoners, all of those constitute reenactments of trauma in people who are previously traumatized and make them more emotionally disabled.
California prison officials believe they will have fully implemented the reforms by the end of this year. But they're still negotiating another critical change to how mentally ill inmates are managed. Judge Carlton wants a proposal by next week that will restrict how often and for how long prisons can house inmates with mental disorders in restrictive units where their illnesses can worsen. I'll have more on that Monday. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
And that's the California Report for Friday, August 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Howard Gelman. Our interns are Nancy DeVille and Angela Rowell. The director was Guy Marzorati. Our producers were Sarah Vaughn and Nina Thorson. Our series on assisted living care in California was produced and edited by Polly Stryker. The editors this week were Erica Kelly and John Myers, the senior editor for the Politics and Government Desk. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, making health happen by working to increase access to health coverage and care for everyone, regardless of immigration status. Learn more at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.